What time do you call this in? Goodness sake.
Call it 12:15.
Yeah, some late night. I was going to say late night love. It's probably not the right thing.
No,
not going on.
Martin, it's a podcast.
This late night Eurovision love. Chris and I are here recording in the depths of the night, bringing this episode.
Why is that, Martin? Because you're busy at the weekend.
Yeah. Do you want to know what I'm doing at the weekend?
Yes. I mean, I know, but yes, for the purposes of the podcast, yes.
I am going on a stag do. And this is what the stag do involves, right? It involves a brewery tour, which, let's face it, is just going to be... I will hate. It's a load of men drinking. Immediately followed by axe throwing, which I can only think is not the best way round to do those two things.
No, not at all. Not in any way.
So this could be the last time you hear from me, really, if things go the way I think they're going
to
go.
What a shame, so close to Eurovision as well.
I know, and so the next time you'll hear me, I'll be from a hospital bed with an axe in the head. And on that note, welcome to this edition of Nolpois.
I said it too early.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Welcome indeed to Nolpois. I'm Laura, that's Martin. We're totally in sync tonight.
Yes.
And this is... yes. Oh, God. I mean, like, I'll just say, by the way, even though it's late, like, I've not been out drinking or anything. It just happens to be quite late. And this is a Eurovision podcast, would you believe? It's not some kind of weird podcast where Martin talks about his weekend and we don't really get anything done. No, we've still, even though there's only 2 weeks to go until Eurovision, we've got plenty of Eurovision news, including a new song contest that we're going to be talking about in just a few moments' time. But first, a little kind of some parish notices for the UK massive, as it were. Just a little notice, if you love your Eurovision and you are based in the UK, you might know of something called the OGAE UK, which is the official Eurovision UK group, and they're having a Eurobash. It has been announced Saturday the 8th of October this year. It's where they basically have a little kind of party for their members and everyone enjoys themselves, and that's going to be happening in Cardiff this year, as I said, on the 8th of October. Maybe we'll go, Martin.
Yeah, I think that would be quite nice. I like Cardiff as well, so going to go there.
I don't think I've ever been.
Ah, well, it's very nice. Just try not to have any curry pasties, because my friend had one of those when he was in there and he got food poisoning. So don't do that. But other than that,
I wouldn't
say that's necessarily a great place.
Cardiff. I think that maybe is just that one. I wouldn't say, like, there's probably most places in Cardiff you can have and that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, but you can't completely guarantee it, can you? So
better
safe than sorry. Speaking of the UK massive, as you were saying, because that's very exciting stuff about the Eurobash. Did you see this week the images of Sam Ryder talking to Conchita Wurst?
No, tell me more.
Well, I mean, that's it, really. Sam Ryder's been talking to Conchita Wurst. Who's been...
What, just like being like, hey, how's it going? Or like...
Well, they were talking about the Eurovision Song Contest and she was giving some really good advice to him about,
what
to do,
tips.
How to handle the fame. She complimented what he was wearing, which as far as I can tell, was just a sort of jeans and a t-shirt, so I don't really understand the point of that. And then he complimented her and she was like, I love it when people gasp when I walk into a room. It was very interesting, but the most interesting bit of the conversation, I think, was the bit that Conchita Wurst said at the end, which was along the lines of, like, people are taking notice of the UK this time round. People are starting to go, there's a bit of a contender here in Sam Ryder. And she was like, no offence to the people who've represented the UK before, but
they're all
this
tripe.
Time there really is something. Yeah, but they were all rubbish. So I think that's very good news, really, for the UK. It just keeps rolling in.
It just concerns me when we hear all of this, because I'm waiting for the fall, quite frankly. It's, you know, it just makes me feel... I can't buy into the hype too much, Martin, because we've been so bitterly disappointed before, but we'll try our best. Talking about disappointments, by the way. Hello. You know how we... Oh. Here's Martin. No, you know how we didn't get tickets for Eurovision this year because of just the way that it's so difficult to get tickets every year, even if it's semi-finals and the websites are always packing in. Well, depending when you listen to this, you might still be able to get some. I've heard on the grapevine that there is going to be an additional public ticket sale in the coming days. Now, this I was told about this 2 days ago, so April the 26th, that news came out. So whether that will already have happened, who knows when you're listening to this. But basically, the live shows are pretty much sold out, but there may be some return tickets on sale along with some tickets with very restricted views. There's also going to be tickets available for some of the rehearsals, especially early in the week. So keep your eye on the Ticket One and official Eurovision websites. If you missed out and you do want to get something, you might still be in luck.
That's really exciting because we definitely did miss out and yes. We would be interested, I think. So maybe we'll keep our eye on that as well.
We will.
Potentially, yeah, potentially good stuff. Speaking of things to do in Turin, because it isn't just, now, whilst you're there, we know that you can go and see the Eurovision Village, which yes. is where we're going to be spending quite a lot of time. We know that you can go and see the arena show, you know, actually watch the thing go out in real life. There are other things that they put on in the host city to do yes. with the Eurovision Song Contest, but not everyone is allowed to go. It's a kind of select VIP people can go to these specific events, and there are more details of what they actually involve.
Yes, I wanted to kind of clear this up a little bit because there's been a bit of confusion this year. Normally there are these kind of broadcaster organised things called the Euro Club, or there's like the official fans, Euro Fan Cafe, that kind of thing. This year, well, the official fans, the OGAE, they made a big effort. They tried to find a good location for this Eurofan Cafe. They've said now it's going to be impossible to reach an agreement with a local venue that would have delivered what the members wanted. Now, we've seen and we've spoken about this idea of the 10 Euro clubs that are going to be operating in Turin. Well, actually what this is it's a list of venues that are offering discounts to delegation members, and they're also available for delegation events. So while they might welcome the public, they might actually not even play Eurovision music or have anything to do with it, really. So kind of check your tickets, yeah, before you buy. I'm just saying, if you're going out there, just be careful. But confusingly, there is going to be one fan focus club in Turin, and that's called the Euro Fans Club, and it's a private venture. It's not affiliated with OGAE at all.
Oh my goodness, this is getting so confusing.
It will host Eurovision parties, and hilariously, if you do want to buy tickets for this, they go on sale at euroclub.tv. So it's called Euro Fans Club. That is a dedicated club, but it's not associated with the fans club, but it will be a dedicated club, and that is something you can go, and it will definitely be playing Eurovision music. If you can't get enough of your Eurovision stuff when you're out, you're in, that is somewhere you can go in Turin. Go to euroclub.tv and find out more about that there. As confusing as that is.
It is a lot confusing, and it doesn't have anything to do with it.
Listen, all I'll say is, if you want to get our good friend Wee Wee Blogs, will be holding the Wee Wee Jam there on the 11th of May, and that is always a fun time. So if you're there, I mean, I think we should try and go, Martin, if we can.
Yeah, if he'll let us in.
He better let us in. Or we could just buy tickets. I mean, yeah, we don't have to get them for free. William, if you're listening to this.
All right, let's talk about something that broke in the middle of this week, really, and kind of took me a little bit by surprise, mainly because I don't pay very much attention. It feels like when you need a Eurovision spin-off show to come along, you wait 50 years, and then about 4 million come along at once, because the American Song Contest has been going on. Now it's been announced that Canada is to get its own Eurovision esque show, but, and this is quite interesting, whilst the American version doesn't mention Eurovision at all, the Canadian version is called Eurovision Canada, which is sort of bonkers. But this has been announced. Canada to get its own version of the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, I mean, what is happening with this? It reminds me, I have to say, it reminds me a lot of Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race, where it started out as this sort of big phenomenon just in the US, and now you can't move for the number of countries that are doing their own drag races. It started with the US, and then it went to Canada for the US, and then the UK, and now there's Australia Drag Race. And the same thing seems to be happening with Eurovision. Of course, you know, people will say, well, it has some connection with Eurovision. You know, Celine Dion, obviously. I mean, although she represented Switzerland, she is Canadian. She won in 1988 the song contest for Switzerland with the Ne partez pas sans moi. But one would say, do the Canadians really care about Eurovision? It made more sense for me when Australia joined the OG Eurovision, because I knew that Australians were into it. I'll be honest, I didn't think Canadians were that into it. Or is that the point? Is that the point that they're trying to get Canadians into it? I'm not sure. But yeah, the idea is it's coming in 2023, a little bit like American Song Contest. It's going to be artists from the 10 provinces of Canada, so a bit smaller than, you know, the how many states in America, and three territories. They're going to represent, you know, Canada, and all be original songs, and just compete against each other. What do you think about this, Martin? Does it feel a bit I don't know, gimmicky, a bit tacked on? Do we need this?
I'm a little worried about this, to be honest. Just because the Eurovision Song Contest is an institution in Europe. Everybody knows it. It is the thing that people... It's appointment to view TV. People have parties and watch a TV singing competition. And I feel
on that,
like,
Martin,
when you...
On that, Martin, are you... can you let me know, are you coming to my Eurovision party? Do we...
Chris, any have you checked your
update
little...
On that?
Yes, there is an update on that. Have you checked your little Facebook, event? Because you'll find that Martin Williams is listed as going to that event.
Yes! Yes, it's coming up. Well, you know, you don't just have to communicate through Facebook events, Martin. You can just tell me.
I prefer not to talk to you, to be honest, outside of this
Fair
podcast.
I can understand.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. I just feel like the Eurovision Song Contest, it is such an institution. And I feel like you're diluting that heritage and everything that it stands for by kind of farming it out as a brand. I just feel like that's what's being done here. They're taking Eurovision and they're using it as a brand. And I get why, right? It's a very strong brand. It's very recognized by hundreds of millions of people right across the world, mainly in Europe. I just feel like they're missing the point here. They're missing what it is about the Eurovision Song Contest that certainly we love. And it isn't necessarily the fact that we really like singing competitions or music competitions.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's not about the sort of, you know, the competition itself. It's the mix of things, that the campness, the eccentricity, and I maybe Canada will get it a bit more than America. We can talk about, by the way, in a moment, how the American Song Contest has got on, because I have been following it. But I just, it feels like it's farming out the brand, selling out a little bit. I mean, maybe there'll be some Canadians who are very happy that this is coming to their sort of side of the pond and excited that they get to experience it, but they're not going to experience what it is. I don't know. In a way, I love that, you know, more people are going to get to, you know, maybe then discover Eurovision itself. And
yeah, but what are they discovering then? Like, I don't know about you, but
no,
I started
watching
Eurovision.
No, but then they might then watch the actual Eurovision.
Yeah, well, they might. I started watching the Eurovision when I was a kid, right? I watched it with my mum and dad. And pretty much everyone I know in this country who watches Eurovision watched it because they watched it as a kid, and their parents watched it, and their parents watched it, and they all got into it. That isn't what you're going to get with just sort of farming it out like Drag Race Canada off to somewhere else. You're just selling a format, but you're using all of the history and the heritage behind the Eurovision Song Contest to do it. Like, if you to ask me what is my favorite bit about the Eurovision Song Contest, It isn't the songs. It isn't the songs. My favourite bit about the Eurovision Song Contest is the blinking voting. I like it when they go around Europe fun, and we have, like, it's so much more than a song contest. Yeah. And I just feel like the whole point of it and the whole reason why I love it is being undermined by just sort of selling out. It's losing the
heart of it, isn't it? It is losing the heart, and it's just going, well, you know, what's different? We've got all the different people competing and they've got their original songs, but it's losing all the little idiosyncrasies that you get as you, when you have something that's like been going on, you know, for so many decades. You know, it loses all those little bits that, you know, oh, this will probably happen with this, and like people get to know it and there's like a history behind it. And obviously, you know, there's no way they can replicate the Eurovision when they're doing it, but maybe that's to say they shouldn't. Maybe they do. I mean, let's say the white elephant in the room. It feels like a money making exercise, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it is, right? Surely it is. If you were really passionate about Eurovision and getting people to be involved with it, then sell people Eurovision.
Yeah.
Get them watching the Eurovision Song Contest. Yeah. Don't go, well, you can have your own versions with a Hawaii.
Maybe they feel this is the way to do it, but I don't know.
I just think they're wrong.
No, yeah, I agree.
Anyway, talking about the American Song Contest, yes. Now we've completely poo-pooed the Canadian version. What's actually happening with the... Because I've not been watching it, I have to say. But what's all Snoop Dogg and Kelly Clarkson been up to on the American Song Contest?
So the thing is with this, it's been quite strange watching it, because each week there seems to be new things that they're adding to it, and it feels like the producers don't really know what they want in this show. We're at the semi-finals now. I've not watched the first semi-final. We've had four kind of quarter-finals. It basically feels like either the songs are A, very country, or B, you think this would be country, but it isn't. And that's kind of been the two genres. It's been like, oh, Oklahoma, you'd expect that to be country. Well, actually, it's K-pop. And it's like, oh, okay. And then the next one is like, oh, Alabama. Oh, it's country, actually. That's what it's been like. And some of the songs have been great. A fair amount of them haven't been that great, and part of that is, you know, fair enough, a lot of them are artists who haven't performed to huge crowds before. Macy Gray was not great. I would say some of the big acts haven't been that brilliant and haven't performed that well. Cisco, not that brilliant. So it's just been, I don't know, there's been several elements where they've decided to do something new in that episode. And it just points to them not like really trying to find their footing with this. And fair enough, it is a new thing. So there is going to be a bit of like chopping and changing and stuff. I don't think it's found its feet. I don't think it's found its audience. It hasn't performed that well. I think in its first, it had something like 3 million viewers, which for America, obviously not that big, considering the amount they tried to throw behind at NBC to get people involved. And obviously Snoop Dogg, Kelly Clarkson, big names for hosts. So you'd hope that would help. I don't know. I mean, I've still enjoyed... The thing is, I have still watched it. But
more for you, Chris.
More for me. Maybe I'm the real... Who's the real idiot? Probably me. But, you know, mainly just because as a Eurovision fan, I'm sort of a bit like, well, I've committed to this now, and you know, I'll see what's happened. But it's a bit all over the place, I'll be honest. I'd be interested to know if other people have been watching it, and we did have somebody who contacted us asking about other podcasts that are talking about this, so we can go into that in the correspondence a bit. But it's just a bit of a mess. That's how I would explain it at the moment.
And I don't know whether this is a bad thing to say, I feel bad for saying it, but I do kind of want it to fail, because I don't really want these things to exist.
Yeah.
I just want it to be the Eurovision Song Contest that I like.
Well, I was quite up for it, for watching and just seeing what would happen, but Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, it is very early days and it is an experiment and hopefully they can grow from it a little bit. I would rather that they do their own thing than America joins the contest. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So there you go. Mm. But that's my thoughts anyway. And I really would be interested to hear what other people think as well on if they've been watching it, especially if you're a Eurovision fan. I'm very interested if you're an American and you're not used to it and what you think about it. But if you're a Eurovision fan, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's pretty slick or like me, you're not convinced?
Now is the time to tell us what you think. You can get in contact with us and Cress has got those details. But before she gives them to you, a bit of correspondence. So this is if you've been getting in contact with us during the week to tell us what you think or maybe ask us a question. I mean, we do our very best to answer them.
Indeed. And it is Erin who got in contact with us on our Twitter at Poinol. Thank you, Erin, for contacting us saying, "Hello, podcasters. I love your show and I'm wondering if you could recommend which of your peer podcasts might be the best to follow for fun analysis of the American Song Contest." So Erin wanted to know about that. As an American who loves Eurovision, would love to find something similar for our own interpretation. Well, I guess we would probably suggest the lovely Sam Ross et al.
Yeah, 12 Points from America.
12 Points from America. Check them out, Erin, for that. I mean, we talk a little bit about it on this show, but not as much. So hopefully you find some interest in that. We also had an email from Marky Mark. Hello, Marky Mark, who said...
Hey, Marky Mark!
Our good pal Marky Mark said, "I'd like to know each of your current top five songs before the rehearsals begin in Turin." I'd also like to add, by the way, Marky Mark does go on to say, "I have to agree with Laura." Yes!
You've chosen to.
No, Mark says, "I have to agree with Laura regarding Diodato's performance in the interval. He's one of the favourites to win in 2020. Completely deserves his chance to sing on the Eurovision stage. Given the emotional impact of the song, it's only respectful for it to have an intimate staging." This is because Martin was whining on about Diodato doing a semi-final performance.
Yeah, I want him juggling on interval. A unicycle whilst he's singing
and
his
just
song.
Just let him sing his song. But anyway, there you go. Mark agrees with me. What a clever man. And says, "I'd like to know each of your current top five songs." And I feel like we haven't really done this, so it's worth doing our little run through. We don't have to spend too much time on it. But Martin, yours, please. Start from five and go to one.
Yeah, I have been thinking about this, and it is actually quite tough. I've realised,
yes.
Because I'm not sure that whilst there are quite a few strong songs this year, I'm not sure that there are enough that sort of put their head above the parapet as being any better than any others.
Totally agree. A lot of average, decent but average songs.
Yeah, so I mean I have come up with a top five, but just bear in mind that these could change at any minute and
yeah,
for any
fine,
reason.
Fair,
but
fair.
So at number five, I've gone with Latvia, Eat Salad by City Zenny.
Yeah.
Very much enjoying that. Then I know you don't agree with this, but I still have a bit of a soft spot for Finland, which is the Rasmus representing Finland with a song called Jezebel. It did get stuck in my head at the time, and it's still there now.
It's an okay song. I don't mind it.
Then... And I think I've gone for this as my third choice, mainly because I'm just hearing it a lot. I'm not even sure that it really is my third favourite, but I just think I've been exposed to it so much now that it's kind of getting into my psyche. And that's Spain and Chanel with Slow Mo. A good song, but I just think it's the one I'm hearing more of.
No, I think that's fine.
Number two on my list. Now, bear with me on this one because I know you won't agree and you'll have a bit of an issue. Sweden.
Oh.
And yeah. Now, and I feel a bit guilty in picking this because I have done this down for a little while and both of us have done it down. But on reflection and after listening to them all, I am thinking that it is up there. It is actually...
It's up there, but it's not that far up there. It's not that far up there.
But this is my point, right? There aren't enough standout ones, which makes my number one even more... Whoa?
Okay.
My favourite song...
Go on.
...is the UK. It's Spaceman by Sam Ryder. Yeah,
really?
It is. I'm not for a minute saying I think it's going to win. I'm not for a minute thinking any of that. I'm just saying as a song, it's my favourite song. And it took me ages to actually go with that and go with that conviction and say, actually, yeah, it is my favourite song because I felt it can't be. I can't have the UK as my favourite. But it is. I mean, really that's fine. Like
that's
song.
Justified. That's allowed.
Okay, who are you going for? What are you going for as your top five?
Okay, I've got a little bit of a draw for fifth, if that's okay.
I don't think it is, but well, all right.
Sorry. So I have got UK as fifth, Sam Ryder, Spaceman, tied with... Actually, this is one that's just like grown on me a little bit. I've kind of enjoyed it. Croatia, Mia Dimsik and Guilty Pleasure. It's quite a simple song, but I just find it quite catchy and enjoyable. Just to listen to, and it's a song I would listen to. So that's why I've just shared. I'll be honest, I could have tied it with about three others. There's about three others that I at that same level that I like. So it's not to say that maybe inched it very slightly. Next, I've got Norway with Subwoofer. Give That Wolf a Banana.
Yeah, see, it's, I went with the other.
You went with Latvia. Yeah,
I went with the Latvia one. But yeah, it is catchy. You can't deny that.
Yeah. And the next one is kind of surprising, but not. In third, I've actually got Ukraine, Kalish Orchestra, Stefania. And I know people will be like, well, that's just picked because of Ukraine and what's been happening in Ukraine. But genuinely, I really do like the song. And I don't, it's not because of what's been going on. I really like the chorus. Like I would, it's a song that's very catchy. I would play this song and it's an upbeat, like just fun song to listen to. And I really enjoy it. So genuinely I just like it. It's just like they're having a lot of fun on stage. You know, I just enjoy it as a song.
Yeah, but I mean, fair enough. It's a bit too out there and bonkers for me, but I can see what it is about it that you appreciate.
I don't like the rapping, but I really do like the chorus. And it's just kind of fun.
It's catchy, it's memorable. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Second for me is Spain with Chanel. I don't know, the thing is, for me it's kind of the whole package of this song. I think I would put it higher, but as a song on its own without the dancing, it's still strong, but I think the dancing would put it even higher. First for me is actually Italy and Brividi.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. That didn't even rate in my top five at all. It's just not for me. It's not for me. I can appreciate why people like it.
Yeah.
And it probably is a good song. It's just not for my taste, that's all.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I just think it's a beautiful melody, you know, really, and something different. But like, there are a couple of ballads in this year, and I listened to all, I've marked them all. I've given them all points this year. You know, down to the decimal point. But there have been a good few ballads where I'm just like, you know, but this, I think there's something different about it. It's not just your general ballad. It just feels, and it may be partly because it's in Italian. So it's got a sort of more enigmatic feel about it. But I just think, yeah, really beautiful song. But I'll be honest, I would prefer Spain to win, just so if we do have to go somewhere else, it'd be nice.
Yeah, I think that maybe is why Spain's on my list, because I'm thinking, a little trip to Spain wouldn't be amiss. I like tapas.
Yes.
So that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I think this is, I feel like I've revealed an inner secret, and I'm glad that's off my chest.
Yes.
So there you go. That's our top five. Feel free to share yours.
So there you go, Mark.
Yeah, there you go, Mark. All sorted for you. if you want to get in touch and you want to share your top five, or you want to talk about anything that's been discussed on the podcast today, here's how you can do it.
Yeah, so much like Mark, do tell us your top five, and let us know, you know, where you would rank things. It's nullpoorpodcast@gmail.com if you want to let us know about that. Will you be watching Eurovision Canada as well? Do you agree with us? Is there a point? Should they keep rolling this out, or should they stop? Or have you been watching the American Song Contest? What do you think about that? Do let us know, nullpoorpodcast@gmail.com. Of course, we are also on Twitter @poornull, or Instagram, nullpoorpodcast on Instagram.
It's very, very late at night. And
I mean, I'm a night owl. This isn't even that late, but yeah, go on.
Well, I'm going to bed, so I'm going to do
right,
that now.
Fine.
And thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you again very soon, unless I have an axe wound to the head on the next edition of...
No, no, no.